Welcome to Monday Matters with Holly Cochran. Holly is a wife, mom, coach, and entrepreneur. She wears these and many more hats while running three successful businesses, a gym, online counseling and nutrition program, and commercial cleaning company. She brings a unique perspective to everyday life with her spicy, no-nonsense attitude. Holly helps her clients keep it simple with small tweaks that over time add up to big life changes. With that, let's get on with today's episode. Here's my friend, Holly Cochran, an incredible human you need to be listening to every Monday.
Hey, family, friends, and strangers. I'm wanting to share with you today some of the research that I've been doing about fasting. Fasting being just limiting the window of opportunity to be eating. Fasting meaning going a longer period of time purposefully without eating food or drinking any calories. And this topic has been something that I have been interested in for years, because ever since I started in the whole nutrition realm of things, intermittent fasting has been kind of popular, and I needed to better understand it, because anytime I tried to do anything that looked even remotely like a fast, I felt horrible. I did not fast well. I got super hangry and miserable, brain fog. Like I could not understand why people were thinking this was like a really good thing. And I know that it's individualized. I know that fasting isn't for everybody. That's one of the things that I've learned. But I didn't want to just write it off as I will never be able to fast. End of story. I don't feel like that is necessarily, the most productive way to go about. There might be things out there that are just a hard no for me, but I didn't want fasting to be a hard no. So I started realizing that most of what I was reading and learning about with fasting was coming from men. I had, listened to a few podcasts that were men talking about intermittent fasting and how it was helping them and how they were feeling on it. I know a few guys who intermittent fast on a regular basis and how awesome it is and how great they feel. And so there was this little disconnect going on for me. I'm like, okay, if there's one thing I've been learning recently is that we are not created equal. Our hormones are influencing us in a huge way, and the male and female hormone system is not created equally. So I started in trying to understand the benefits of fasting, but from a girl's perspective. So I bought the book, Fast Like a Girl by Dr. Mindy Pels. I listen to her on a podcast. I follow her on Instagram, and I've bought her book and read it. Now, I'm going to sum up today just some of the reasons why I wanted to continue to pursue this knowledge, why I wanted to learn more and more about fasting. And in the future, I will talk about different kinds of fasting, foods to eat when you're breaking your fast. I'm going to do a little bit of a series on fasting. I'm not going to put it all together here, because I don't know if you're like me, but I don't like to listen to really, really long podcasts. So today I'm just talking about why fasting can be beneficial and in what ways. All right. So the number one thing that I think is important to understand is just how really smart our bodies are if they were just allowed to be in their natural state. Like if we just were able to come and go as we please in society, eating when we felt hungry, eating the kind of food we felt like we should be eating if that was available to us. If we could just do what we needed to do, our bodies would do the right thing. Unfortunately, most of us do not get to do it that way. And therefore, our bodies get a little confused as to what it needs to be doing in order to be functioning at its optimal level, because we're not doing what it's supposed to be doing a lot of the time. We're kind of negating it or fighting it or changing that. Okay, so there are five things that happen in society these days that make it so that our bodies do not do optimal functioning Okay. I don't know anybody who doesn't check a little bit of these, a little bit of the box of each of these. Okay. Number one is a low calorie diet. I think that most people who are listening to this podcast have at some point been in calorie deficit on purpose, trying to lose weight. Okay. Low calorie diets are a thing and we've all done them, trying to lose weight. They work temporarily, but if you do them for too long, they do the opposite effect. Our body starts thinking that we need to now function at this calorie deficit level and it will adjust. So low calorie diets have done a bit of a number on what our body is supposed to be doing functionally, optimally. Okay. We all have opportunity everywhere on the daily to make poor food choices, more now than ever. So because we have such an opportunity to make poor food choices and have low nutrient dense food filling up our bodies and being used as our source of fuel, our body doesn't work as well as it could because it doesn't have access to what it needs because of our food choices. We are more stressed now than ever. So our fight or flight and our cortisol levels are surging and spiking more than they ever have. We used to run from saber-toothed tigers, but not every day, not every time we walked into the building at work, not every day was a saber-toothed tiger day. And yet for many of us, our cortisol levels are spiked to the point where every day is a saber-toothed tiger day. And that is not allowing our body to do what it's designed to do well. We are exposed to more toxins now than we've ever been exposed to, not necessarily by choice. So our toxic load is huge. And because our toxic load is so much more than it used to be, our body needs to work that much harder, doing other things besides what it's designed to do optimally. So just another reason why this whole fasting conversation becomes important, okay? We also sometimes try to do a one-size-fits-all approach. And I thought that was a really interesting one when it came to intermittent fasting, because when I first learned how to intermittent fast, there was a protocol for intermittent fasting. And you did that, and nobody talked about a 28-day cycle. They said, start by pushing breakfast back by an hour and making supper earlier by an hour, one or the other. But at the end of the day, you want to start lengthening the window of time that you're not eating in. The fasting window gets bigger. The feeding window gets smaller. And nobody was telling me to do that differently throughout my cycle. So I would try to make that window of fasting longer and that feeding window smaller. And I felt horrible. I didn't know where I was in my cycle. I did not know if it mattered. I was not paying attention to the kinds of foods I was nourishing myself with during the feeding window. I was just trying to get calories in during the feeding window. I didn't know how to fast or intermittent fast well enough to serve my body. And I knew there was pieces that I probably could be doing better, because I do believe that the research is probably right. There's a lot backing up the benefits of fasting. And I just wasn't okay with, it's not going to work for me. I wanted to figure out how to make it better work for me. So those are some of the reasons why we need to make it happen. Because of our lifestyle, diet, and toxic load, our body isn't doing on a regular basis, it's not doing what it's designed to do. It's brilliant. It would if it could, but for all of those five reasons, it's not. So because it's not operating optimally because of those five reasons, here's how fasting can help. How fasting can help to support your body to get back to that state where it is functioning better, closer to optimal. Okay. The number one thing is autophagy. That's the word. I had to practice that a few times. Autophagy. Okay. That is the process in which your body's using the old cells, cleans them out, and regenerates new, healthier cells. Okay. I have talked about this when it comes to our immune system lots, where we have to detox, repair, and remove diseased cells. Autophagy is happening when we are not digesting food. So the longer we go fasting, the longer we go where we're not digesting food, the more opportunity our cells have to repair and rejuvenate and become healthier and stronger. I think it makes perfect sense that if our cells, what make us up, what makes up our entire body, if our cells are healthier and newer, aka younger, if our cells are, then we will be. So knowing that they can do that when we're not digesting food means it's important to provide them the opportunity to go those longer periods of time when we're not digesting food. The other thing that I felt really interested about was I had been doing some reading about diabetes and insulin resistance and glucose and menopause and weight resistance, not being able to lose weight, and belly fat that happens in that middle age, that it doesn't matter what we do in the gym and it feels like we're not doing anything right in the nutrition department and we just keep putting on more and more weight around the middle. Things that were interesting me when it came to fasting and understanding glucose and insulin. So I thought this was really interesting. Glucose gets stored, okay? And one of the analogies that made sense to me was imagine if you're eating a high sugary diet or high glucose, you know, carbohydrate kind of diet. Equate that to a big Costco shop day. You've bought all the things, more things than you can even actually fit into your fridge. I don't know how many of you out there have two fridges, but we definitely have two fridges and two deep freezes, one in the house and one out in the garage. So think about your body as being that storage center for the glucose and the insulin. And if you get too much sugar, glucose, you can't keep it all in the house in the inside fridge. Some of it you're going to store outside in the garage, in the deep freeze out in the garage or the fridge that's out there, the back fridge. So that's what's happening is you have too much of maybe a good thing, but probably not a good thing, but too much of something and you got to go put it out into the garage. Fasting allows your body to use up what's in the fridge in the house and then be able to go out and access the stuff that's out in the garage and not just store it. And when I heard that analogy, it started to make sense because fasting is supposed to support the liver. The liver is one of the things that showed up on my DNA as needing a ton of support. Detoxifying and making my liver work better is a goal of mine. I think that's going to really help my overall health. And so when I'm trying to understand how is fasting actually helping my liver, because I know we're all connected, I know it will, but I don't know how. This analogy about the deep freeze out in the garage made tons of sense. Fasting helps to get the excess sugar out of the liver. So the liver is a storage unit, that I knew. We are storing glucose and insulin when we have too much of it. And fasting and going longer periods of time allows us to use up what's out in the fridge and the kitchen and then be able to go into the other place and use some of that storage up and clean that out, detoxify that liver, let that liver get less bogged down, which is ultimately a goal of mine. Okay, so now I'm understanding a little bit more as to how fasting works and what I will get as a benefit. And because of the connection with the liver as a storage unit, it was important for me to be able to make that connection. So I don't know if that helps you with my whole deep freeze analogy, but I got to make this a little bit simple, stupid for me. And so that is why I'm sharing it with you. when you are storing your insulin, it becomes very difficult to lose weight. Insulin resistance is the same as weight loss resistance. So when you're able to get some of that glucose and insulin out of your body through fasting and getting into that back deep freeze, weight loss can start again. Your weight loss resistance can come to an end. Okay, fasting also helps to increase growth hormone production. I read that and part of me thought, well, I don't want to grow more babies. And I think that's what the growth hormone is for. Wrong. I love learning new things. I wasn't right. That's not necessarily what the growth hormone production is around. But the growth hormone helps us to burn fat around the midsection. Ding, 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 ding. That belly fat that we're getting as we're getting into that menopausal age, doing all the things we used to do, but now we're getting that tire. That is our growth hormone and its production. Our growth hormone also builds muscle. So what we used to be able to do in the gym and look toned or ripped is not necessarily working as well anymore because of our growth hormones. And brain fog. Growth hormones help with brain development. And so after the age of 30, our growth hormone production starts to decrease, and so does our ability to have brain growth, learning new things, teaching an old dog new tricks, keeping up with technology as fast as it's moving. I want to be able to do those things. I want to be an old dog learning new tricks all the time, which means I'm going to have to support my growth hormone production. Fasting increases your growth hormone production. So fasting helps you to burn fat around the midline. Fasting helps you to build muscle, and it helps with brain development and brain growth. Okay, I want those things. Teach me more. Fasting also resets the dopamine pathways. I don't know what that means. What does that mean? I have to look into what that means a little bit more. Dopamine, those are our happy feelings, okay? Excitement, joy, pleasure, dopamine. We get a hit of dopamine when we eat. I think we know that. And we get trained to get that dopamine when we eat unhealthy food often. Feeling sad, let's have ice cream. We often crave dopamine because dopamine will make us feel better. And then we crave unhealthy foods that will give us a fast hit of dopamine so we start to feel better. Emotional eating attached to dopamine. Okay, your body starts to need these hits more and more. Severely obese people have an addiction to dopamine and they need to eat the foods that make them feel good more and more and more. Fasting allows you to retrain the brain. When you just decide you will not eat in this window and you don't, that's the hard part, is getting through those first days of whatever that window is and pushing through them. All of a sudden, your brain gets retrained to not need that dopamine. And this is one of the things in my own personal experience with fasting that has definitely happened. I used to think that if I felt a little bit hungry, I was on the verge of death. I used to think that, you know, that little tummy rumble was me like, like eating my own intestines and I'm about to like collapse at any given moment, but that's not actually the case. And I can go a long time without eating and feel okay. I actually have learned how to now feel better because I'm not doing it 30 days in a row. I will tell you that. We're not talking about what days of the month I'm fasting and how I'm fasting on this episode, but I'm going to get there. But when I am doing it around my hormone cycle, I can go a lot longer than I used to. And I've just trained my brain to not believe I'm on the verge of death should I go a few extra hours without eating. It makes life really easy. Like if I want to go, this season, we're in volleyball season right now when I'm recording this. And it has been really nice not having to pack quite as much food, because I'm just going to shorten my eating window, and I'm going to maybe not have supper while we're there at the volleyball. And I'm going to fast from like lunchtime till the next morning and go a long time without eating. And I'm fine. I don't do it every single day of the month. And I know which days I'm not going to do that. And I'll make the effort to pack the extra food on those days. But on the days when I know I can easily go 14 to 17 hours without eating, and it's going to be a benefit to my health, not a detriment, I'll do it. So those are the dopamine pathways, the how you feel, the happiness. We can retrain ourselves to not have that connection with food. And not that I'm going to now be sad because I'm not connecting to food. That's not it. We can find dopamines in other ways. But it's nice to retrain my brain to believe that I am safe and I'm happy and I'm healthy, even though I don't always have to be eating. When we are fasting, our blood cells can repair. We talked about that. And then rejuvenate. So it helps our immune system. When we're not feeling good, our bodies work hard to digest food. I learned that in my course for sure. One of the hardest things our body does on a daily basis is digest food. So if you need your body and your white blood cells to fight an infection, to fight off a cold, to fight, you know, a flu or something bigger, like to fight cancer, then utilizing the practice of fasting can definitely help to support those white blood cells to be able to do what they need to do to get your body feeling healthier again and to rejuvenate and to get new, stronger cells happening by just not making it digest food. Giving it a break from doing that job allows the white blood cells to step up and repair and rejuvenate and do the job of supporting your immune system. So that was another thing. As we go into cold and flu season, I was thinking about, okay, how do I stay healthier during cold and flu season without necessarily having to ingest a bunch of medications? So far, knock on wood, good. And now that I know that I can go a longer period of time without eating, if I'm not feeling good and I don't really feel like eating and maybe just a little bit of bone broth, I'm not going to worry that I'm going to get super low in energy. When I do feel like eating again, I'll eat some really nutrient-dense foods and build up that energy again, and I'll be fine. And I love that I've learned that, because I know for a fact I wouldn't have bought into this even 3 or 4 years ago, for sure. The last reason why I have looked into fasting and trying to develop a fasting protocol that works for me is because I know that my microbiome is not always, it doesn't function optimally. You all have heard my stories before about all the things that tell me that my microbiome needs some support, whether it's because of antibiotic use, whether it's from SIBO, whether it's from food intolerances. For all the reasons that are not necessarily been completely solidified, my microbiome is not optimal. And fasting supports my microbiome. I can do a gut reset and have the terrain of my microbiome be improved and possibly reset with a 24-hour fast. I've been working at trying to get a better gut health happening for years. And you're telling me in 24 hours I can make significant improvements to my microbiome? Yeah, hello, I can do that. I can do that very easily. I'm currently doing that right now. And in another 2 hours, I will be at 24 hours of fasting. And this is the first time I've done the 24-hour one because I needed to wait long enough into my cycle to get where I needed to be in order for that to be supported. And here I am, and I am fine, and I have had energy, and I've gone for a walk outside this morning, and I have my brain capacity is happening. I struggle with my words a little bit, but that's just because I talk too fast. but I'm doing okay. And I'm excited to see what happens when I break this fast with some really nutrient dense food and see if I can continue on the journey of trying to make my gut health improve. I don't know that I'll ever have guts of steel. I'm never going to say that. I've never in my life been like that. That's why I really want to learn more and more about this, because even if I don't know what what's less strong than steel, whatever that is, I am going to be that. I won't have guts of steel, but I will have something stronger than the kind of weak mush I got going on a lot of the time when it comes to my gut health. I do want it to improve, and it has improved, but I still know that there's room for more improvement. And fasting is one of the tools I'm going to add to my tickle trunk of things that to help my gut health, my energy, my immune system, my brain fog, and my menopausal tire. So for all of those reasons, I am going to continue to learn about fasting like a girl. That was the book I told you about as I started. Fast Like a Girl is the book that I bought and I read. I also have the Fast Like a Girl app. So the Fast Like a Girl app tells me where I am in my cycle every day and how many hours fasting is best supported. So I'm going to get into that next week in the podcast episode, is different kinds of fast lengths and where in your cycle you should put them in. If you don't know what your cycle looks like for whatever reasons, you've either lost your cycle because of birth control, because of menopause, you want to start writing down and understanding our moon cycles. Most women are going to sync up with the moon cycle, either a full moon or a new moon. If you haven't heard that from me before, that is something I have shared before. Go and look it up on the calendar. When is the new moon? When is the full moon? And start becoming more in tune with yourself. You still are having a cycle. Most of us are still having a cycle. Few women have, their hormones are imbalanced enough that they're not cycling. But even menopausal women who are not ovulating are still fluctuating in their hormones throughout the month. And they are often connected to the moon. So next time we meet and I start talking about fasting throughout the cycle, even if you don't have a cycle, you will want to learn how to fast for the fluctuations in your hormones, even if they don't result in a cycle and a bleed. So that's your homework. Go and figure out when the full moons and the new moons are and which one you may be connected with, so that as you start to experiment and play with extending your fasting windows and decreasing your feeding windows, you'll have an idea of when you want to put those into your month. All right, I'm going to leave it there. Just a little bit of food for thought about the benefits of fasting and whether or not you want to buy in and know more information or not, or you think all of this is just a little bit too woo-woo for you. Next week, join me. We'll talk about the different lengths of fasts and when we should be doing them. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Monday Matters with Holly Cochran. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Monday Matters, leave her a review, and share this episode on your social media. Should you have any questions about what you listen to or want more info, reach out and send her a message at K2 Health with Holly on Instagram and Facebook. She loves hearing from her listeners. See you next time.